Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or post comments and questions to Dr. Love while you're watching live over Google Hangouts or YouTube. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you today. I have a question for you. Have you ever wondered what rats can teach you about making a New Year's resolution that finally sticks? Well, I'm talking about the New Year's relationship resolution today, and how can you make this resolution stick? You know, every year millions of people across the globe make New Year's resolutions to improve their career, their health, their fitness, their weight loss, or finances. And guess what? By this time in January, everything's gone to crap. So isn't it time to make a resolution, a relationship resolution that sticks? So in this show, I'm going to talk about resolutions in general and why they fail for most people. And then I'm going to tell you how to make them stick. And I'm going to show you how to create your very own relationship resolution so that this year you crank your love life into high gear. And if you're committed to making this year that you achieve your relationship or any other goals, then stick with me, because I'm going to hand you the keys to enable you to drive your deepest relationship desires, not off the edge of the cliff, but happily off into the sunset. I'm also going to answer some questions today. The first one's in, it's called Messed Up, and I Still Want Him Back. And with this one, I'm helping a woman who, in her desperation to get her ex back, created another identity and chatted with him on a dating site about her failed relationship. And he fell in love with this imaginary girl and then became enraged when he discovered that it was she all along. And she wants to know what she can do to get him back. So stick with me to discover how taking responsibility for her mistake is her best shot at getting him back. Second question I'm going to tackle is, am I being ridiculous? Here I'm helping out a woman in her 40s who just moved in with her caretaking boyfriend who's offered free lodging to a former girlfriend of his who's down on her luck. And she is furious to have to clean up after this other woman and wonders how she can get this woman out of their lives. So stick with me on this to hear how cleaning up her own act is the key to cleaning up the mess. And the last question of the week is reconnecting with my love. Here I'm advising a man whose girlfriend placed ads to explore her bisexual urges, and she denies having slept with anyone else, but his gut tells him otherwise. So if he finds out that she's lied to him, he's going to end the relationship, and he wants to know how to get her to tell him the truth. So stay with me to find out what's my take on what's really going down. And then, of course, I'm going to do a reading between the sheets segment. This one's called Oral Sex, and I'm helping out a guy who can't swallow the fact that his girlfriend won't give him oral sex, but did give oral to a man that she wasn't involved with. And he's so upset over this that he's driving his girlfriend away. So stay with me to find out the real reason why this topic has him down and what he can do to move forward. So now let's talk about how to make and keep your own New Year's relationship resolution. So if you're like most folks, I'm sure you're all too familiar with your failed New Year's resolutions. It's a real bummer. At this time of year, most people just get so excited about the New Year because it represents all kinds of new opportunities, renewed hope. And usually by the second or the third week of January, which is right about where we are now, the enthusiasm has waned considerably. But guess what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can make this year different. This is the year that you can decide once and for all to make a lasting change in your life. And, you know, we all have the genuine desire to truly achieve our New Year's resolutions. But if you don't understand why you're not getting the results you want and how to get these results, then you're going to just continue to do the things that you've been doing, and you're going to continue to get what you've been getting, which is not what you want. So over the years, I'm sure you've seen each and every one of your resolutions wither and just die on the vine. And each time you fail to stick to your resolutions, you know, your self-esteem decomposes a little more, too. Every year, you're not alone. Millions of people across the globe make these New Year's resolutions to improve their career, their health, their fitness, their weight loss, their finances. And then what happens? They fail. They fail miserably. So how can you make your resolution stick and crank your love life into high gear at the same time? So if you're committed to making this year the year that you achieve your relationship or any other goals, and stick with me, because I'm going to hand you those keys to your deepest dreams. So first, I want you to give your self-esteem a pass, because I'm here to tell you that past failures didn't come from a lack of true desire or a lack of commitment to making changes in your life. The real reason why people don't stick to their New Year's resolutions is because we're creatures of habit, and we continue to do the things that we've always done simply because we're programmed that way. There's even a name for it. It's called the status quo resistance, and we all have this. And our mental programs are our belief systems, and these beliefs determine our thoughts and our actions, and then ultimately that determines our results. And the status quo resistance is so universal that it makes us stay in really awful patterns, awful relationships. And knowing this enables you to make the decision to no longer recreate the things that you don't want in your life. And this is your first step to making your New Year's resolution stick. And here's the cool thing. Rats can actually teach us a thing or two on this topic. And I know it sounds crazy, but have you ever seen a rat caught in a maze? What does a rat do when he hits a dead-end wall? So when I ask most people this question, they say to me, well, he keeps banging up against the wall. But what's wild is he doesn't. Rats actually back up, and they go around another way. It's only people who keep banging their heads against the same dead-end walls, repeating the same behaviors over and over again, even though they don't work. So it's time to take a lesson from rats, okay? When you take stock in your life and see that something you're doing doesn't work, it's time to back up and try something new. So I want your new mantra to be, what doesn't work, no matter how long I keep doing it. And this year, I'm going to back up and try something new. So this year, your resolution revolution starts with admitting that in order to get out of your own dead-end maze, you need to consciously reprogram your thoughts, beliefs, and actions so you can stay on track and actually achieve your goal or resolution. Okay? So now that you understand the maladaptive aspect of human psychology, you can see that it actually is very simple to achieve your goal. And you may not know how, but don't allow the not knowing to stop you from believing and achieving the end result. Don't allow the not knowing to hold you back from taking the necessary action toward the achievement of your goal. So let me give you a step-by-step plan for how to make a resolution that sticks. So number one, of course, is you got to decide what you want, right? So if you're going through your life and you don't even know what you want, how are you going to make it happen? So we all know that great achievements have begun in this way. First, you know, we decided to put a man on the moon. Now, nobody had any idea of how that dream was going to come about. And the point is, first you have to create the dream or the goal. Decide that you're going to fulfill it, and then the how is going to come about. And, you know, I've said this before on air. My Dr. Love industry ministry came about in this way. It was in the early 80s. I had this vision of my bringing relationship advice to people throughout the world using computers. And at the time, obviously, the internet didn't even exist. Then in the early 90s, nearly a decade later, when the internet was created, I jumped and made the dream and the vision that I had seen come true. So my point is, most people do not achieve their goals because they immediately get bogged down thinking, well, how can I do X, Y, or Z? And since they don't know how they're going to achieve the goal, they just don't do anything about it. So we give up before we even start. So I want to tell you, you don't have to know how. Just start by deciding what it is that you want. And when you decide what you want, and by the way, that is what a resolution is. It's a decision. And you stick to your decision by being determined, you will find the way, even if it isn't evident in the beginning. And the how will be revealed to you when you stay focused on the goal. So you must stay focused on the goal. Okay, so the second thing now is you've got to know that you are the glue that keeps you stuck. So become aware of the things that you've been doing in the past that have been preventing you from achieving your goals. So, for example, if you notice you have a repetitive thought pattern that may be something like, I'll never have a happy relationship, or I'm just no good at that, or I just can't seem to get it, I've never done it before, every thought you think is energy in motion. And whether you believe it or not, these thoughts are actually anchors that firmly embed themselves into your psyche. They weigh you down and they hold you back no matter how hard you try to move forward and do the things that you think are taking you toward the achievement of your goal. and self-debilitating words and phrases come from that belief system in your head. So it's your belief system that's going to have the greatest impact on your results. So create a belief system that's going to support you in the achievement of your goals. And you can do this by answering this question. What do I need to believe in order to achieve my goal? And I want you to write down the answer and read it every single day, several times a day. And I'm certain you've heard the expression, if you hear something over and over again, you're going to start to believe it. Well, the same principle applies here. Repetition is going to cause you to start to believe whatever it is can be done, even if you don't have the faith in the beginning. So remember this saying, and it's going to have a profound impact on your life. Believe, and your belief will create your wish. Okay, now here's the third point. Focus on making one change at a time. Because the most common mistake people make out of enthusiasm and over-eagerness is to try to change too many things at once. And then what do you think happens? When you try to change too many things at once, like I'm going to run 1,000 miles a week, it becomes too much a few weeks down the line, and so your new goals and habits are just left in the ditch as you fall back into your old routine once again. So be enthusiastic, sure, but be smart too, right? So that is so important. Be enthusiastic, but be smart. Only focus on one habit or small change per month, and do it until it becomes the new normal in your life. And then add another habit or small change. And it's said that after 6 weeks of adopting a new behavior, that behavior has become yours for life. And I know it might feel like things are going too slowly, but in 12 months, you're going to be able to accrue 12 new habits in your life if you do this in a focused and smart way. Okay? Now, here's four. Make a clear goal. For a dream to become a goal, it has to be specific. Being thin is an image, but losing 10 pounds by March 1 is a resolution. So be clear on what you want to achieve. Make a New Year's resolution that you have a real, bona fide intention of keeping. And the truth is, most people have not made a genuine, serious, no BSing around, I really mean to do this New Year's resolution. Okay? Now here's five. Baby steps lead to big growth down the line. Okay, so to avoid procrastination and inner resistance, make things easy on yourself. Take small steps outside of your comfort zone. Start by running for 5 minutes. Then a week or two later, add 5 more minutes of running. Or start working for just 5 minutes on something that you have feared or you've been nervous about doing. And then you can go back to your regular stuff. And then come back and do 5 more minutes of work on that one thing later on in the day or the day after that. Small steps do add up quickly, and it's far better to have traveled quite a distance over a year by taking small steps than to feel overwhelmed by taking a first big step and procrastinating on it for 6 months or 12. It's far better to take that big step once or twice and not, you know, keep it up. That's far, far worse because it's just simply too much for you. Okay? Now, here's another one. Write it down. Because a reminder right in front of your eyes is really a vital tool that's going to assist you in taking action toward the achievement of your goals. So take an action today. An action that you can take is to write out your goals. Write out only one goal. And doing this doesn't take an enormous amount of time. So what action do you take? If you don't know what action to take, find someone who's already achieved the result that you want and discover how that person did it. Find a way that each day you can do two things toward the achievement of your goal. And these two actions can be simple things, but stick to the commitment to do at least two things each and every day, and you're going to realize extraordinary results within a really short period of time because you're going to be amazed at these results. And do this for 30 days, and you're going to see how it changes your life. Once you see the positive changes, then you can increase your intensity, your focus, your faith, your commitment, and you can take more action. And then you're going to watch the new improvements over the next 30 days. And I'm certain that you're going to be familiar with this term exponential growth. And you're going to have exponential growth when day-to-day, month-to-month, you continue to work toward the achievement of your goal and make subtle distinctions and improvements. So it's easy to let the new habit or change slip through the cracks as everyday life interferes. And before you know it, a week or two has passed by without you having put in much or any work on this new part of your life. So the easiest way to remember your current habit, goal, or thing you're focusing on is to write it down, place that note where it is in front of your eyes every day, write it down on paper, put it in your workspace where you can't avoid seeing it, make a copy, put it on your bedside table too, so it's one of the first things you see when you wake up. Commitment is not only habitual, but it's essential, and it moves you always closer to your resolution and your ultimate success. And commitment is the heartbeat of your goal. Alrighty, let me take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Wondering how to tell the difference between love and lust? Poor Mark. Every time he takes a woman to bed, he ends up scratching his head. His big head, I mean. How can he tell if he's in love or only in lust? Time. Lust usually fades in a few weeks while true love lasts. So when it comes to gauging if you're in love or only in lust, remember, you can't trust lust. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
You are listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Ask Dr. Love is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have, or submit a question to her free advice column. You can also watch this broadcast live over Google Hangouts or YouTube. Sign up for her newsletter at AskDrLove.com to be the first to know about her upcoming radio shows. And find out how you can watch her live and ask her questions in real time. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you. So take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listeners. So if you have a question for her, make sure to watch live on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 Eastern Time on Google Hangouts or YouTube. Or catch the archived broadcast on WebTalkRadio.net. Now, back to Dr. Love.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it is my pleasure to be with you. I'm talking about how to help you keep your resolutions, because now we're in the critical week where it's make or break. And this is the time in the show I call Dr. Love's Quickie segment. So I want to tell you about a new Portuguese study, and it involves rats. When exposed to daily chronic stress, being cooped up in a plastic tube for half an hour or forced to swim for 10 minutes, they soon became lousy decision makers, relying on habit instead of actively thinking about whether to press a lever or get the food pellet. Now, does this sound familiar? Because the stresses we face are different, obviously. Morning traffic, crappy bosses, the recession. But over time, they get to us all the same. Okay? Now, if we talk about being burned out and going through the motions, like just like the rats when you get stressed out. For 3 weeks, if you are exposed to too much stress, and there was actually a trial about this, it goes like this. The study by Ree Costa of the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, one of the authors said that when you're under stress, you do the automatic thing instead of doing what you had planned to do, same as the rats. For 3 weeks, they were exposed to a standard regimen of randomly timed stresses, such as, like I said, being in the tube or being bullied. And then the rats couldn't be creative. They couldn't find a way out. They couldn't back out of the maze any better than we humans. So the researchers also found that brain changes occurred in the rats. The brain believed to control, the part of the brain that controls goal-directed behavior shrank, and the area thought to be important for forming new habits, known as the dorsolateral striatum, it actually grew. And the study by these Portuguese and American scientists showed that this is how stress makes us become creatures of habit. Can you imagine this? So decision-making gets affected, and we stop being able to make goals and stick with them. And another researcher at the University, Washington University School of Medicine, said, Robert Cloninger is his name, he said, chronic stress hijacks or short-circuits access to the neocortex, So stressed rats and humans become creatures of habit with little flexibility or initiative in setting goals. So we burn out from chronic stress, and this makes us fall into routines that require less energy. And there's a lot of research proving this link between stress making us creatures of habit, okay? So, but here's what's so diabolical. When we lose flexibility and creative thinking, especially in our intimate relationships, we end up falling into fight cycles that never end. And that just causes more stress and less creative thinking. And in fact, the stress and the fighting in our relationships is our biggest source of stress, bigger than anything. It causes an ongoing, you know, cortisol release. So that's what Kiss Your Fights Goodbye is all about, to help you learn new ways of relating so you can stop fighting and then the stress goes away, okay? So let me give you a couple tweets here. Don't let relationship stress turn your brain into a mess, okay? And when you end relationship distress, you're saying goodbye to the biggest source of stress. And help a firefighter who is in love with his ex by putting out the fire. I had a firefighter who wrote to me this morning, and boy, was he in a mess. An absolute mess from his stress. So, but remember, work stress doesn't hold a candle, to the stress that we suffer in our relationship. So let me take a break. I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You are listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Love's latest Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about this book and even read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, make sure to watch live over Google Hangouts or YouTube, where you can submit your comments or questions and connect with Dr. Love in real time. Or listen to the archived show at webtalkradio.net. This show is for you, the listeners, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. This is Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you. And we're talking about how we can make New Year's resolutions that stick and what we can learn from rats in the process, okay? Because rats do at least step out. They back away when they hit a dead-end wall. So I want to give you another tip that's very, very helpful to people in terms of keeping their resolutions, and that is get an accountability buddy. Now, have you ever heard of what that is? An accountability buddy is somebody who helps you stick with your resolution. And accountability buddy can be a best friend, it can be a family member, it can be a spouse, but obviously what you want to do is you want to pick somebody that you know is going to be very friendly and supportive with you, because you know, you don't want somebody who's going to berate you or give you a hard time, right? So choose somebody who's loving and supportive, somebody who is going to say the right things to motivate you and gently nudge you back on the right track, but not berate you, okay? Now, here's tip number 8. Don't flip when you slip, okay? Because the thing is, we all slip. You know this. It's just inevitable that you will. And so the important thing here is to not take the stumble too seriously. Don't be too hard on yourself, because if you beat on yourself, beating on yourself lowers your self-esteem, and it makes doing whatever you want to do harder and less fun after each time. Because if you've slipped and you've beaten up on yourself and you feel so bad about yourself, you just don't even want to try anymore. So don't be your own worst enemy. After you have stumbled, ask yourself what your best friend would tell you in this situation. Be a good friend to yourself, too. Learn what you can from your experiences and your failures, and so you don't repeat the same stumble too many times. And then get back on the horse the next day and just keep on going, all right? Now, here's number 9. Number 9 is expect roadblocks. Be ready to handle the adversity, the challenges. Be prepared to overcome the obstacles, because you're going to have challenges. So do be prepared to weather any challenge, obstacle, or adversity. And don't make it bigger than it is, okay? So look at the gift in the adversity, learn from it, look past it. Just like when you're car sick, you don't look at what's in your immediate sight. You focus at the distant horizon and just become relentlessly persistent. Okay? And then here's number 10. This is the 10th tip for how to make those resolutions stick. Okay? What I want you to do is take radical personal responsibility. So when it comes to making personal relationship changes or any kind of changes, pick one thing that's not working for you in your relationship. Instead of focusing on the other person and what he is doing or she isn't doing, focus on yourself and on what you're doing to keep the pattern going. And remember, it takes two to tango, right? So take responsibility for your part of the problem. Think outside the box. And what's amazing is the fact that when one person changes, the entire relationship shifts. So you're literally a pebble in the pond. So for example, let's say your husband never takes out the garbage, and that triggers you to nag and yell at him. Then he gets mad and doesn't want to be responsive, so you yell and nag some more. So even if he started it, after a while it doesn't even matter because you keep the conflict going by yelling and nagging. So if you let go of the rope, stop banging your head on the dead-end wall and do something different, the entire struggle is broken. So what if you said something positive to your husband, like you praised him for something else that he does that pleases you and that you have overlooked because you're so furious at him over the garbage? Now your praise is going to smooth his feathers and make him more favorably inclined toward you. So when we're angry at others, we don't want to be collaborative, we don't want to be responsive, and then when we're feeling fed and acknowledged emotionally, we feel more generous and responsive, which is going to up your chances that your partner is going to want to take out the garbage on his or her own. So take a look at what you're doing that's not working. And if you need a cheat sheet, read all about the fight traps that I list in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. Are you nagging? Are you short-tempered? Are you defensive? Are you not listening? This is the first step toward letting go of a pattern that doesn't work. It's admitting what you're doing. Like, you know, you go to AA and you say, hi, I'm John, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm admitting it. Don't forget, also, whatever you say and do boomerangs back on you. You're the author of your fate. You reap what you sow. So make a resolution to resolve one dysfunctional, counterproductive behavior that is yours. And remind yourself, you're responsible for what you say and do. You can choose to take five. You can splash water on your face. You can stop banging your head on the same dead-end wall. You can choose instead to say and do something totally out of the box. And this is the choice you can make. And you and your relationship are going to reap the rewards. Your partner is going to be closer to you, and your love, your connection, and your intimacy is really going to blossom from this day forward. Okay? So this is how you make the resolution. The New Year's resolution starts with you. Changing you. And remember, radical responsibility, that is the ticket. You change you and your entire universe changes around you. Okay? So let's get to some questions now. And you know, I'm going to be moving to a new network that is going to enable me to take live calls because I'm seeing now on my Hay House radio show, which is on Tuesdays, from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific time, noon Eastern time, I am inundated with live calls because Hay House Radio has a regular engineering studio so that I can get calls coming in. The new studio I'm going to be moving to, the new actually network, not only will I be able to take your live calls and answer you real time, there's also going to be, you know, a video component. So we'll actually be able to see me, and it'll be like a little TV show along with the radio show, which is going to be so much more of a connection for us. So, and I know that the phones are ringing off the hook at Hay House, and I can't take all the calls, and I want to be able to have another vehicle out here for you guys to be able to reach out to me real time as well. Okay, also, if you've read Love Never Dies, I would like to ask you to please go post a review. If you haven't heard this already, I was on Coast to Coast Radio last Thursday night, 1 to 3 in the morning, very, very tough hour, you know. So I did the show, and it was such a success. It was so wonderful that Love Never Dies became an overnight bestseller, and the book went out of stock immediately. So I would love for you to please, after you read Love Never Dies, go post a review, because excellent reviews from people like you really motivate other people to buy the book. And I want everybody in the world to know about the fact that our relationships don't end in death, and that it is never too late to reconnect and, if needed, make peace with somebody who's passed. Okay? So let me get now to the question, messed up, still want him back. Dear Dr. Love, I messed up with my chance to get my ex-boyfriend back. We dated for almost 1.5 years. We had very healthy relationship, shared lots of interests, just like a perfect match to each other. We broke up since he said he suddenly lost feelings for me. I tried to bring him back, but I didn't follow the no-contact rules. We still talked, and at the time I had a good chance if I stayed calm and kept working. And then I did something super stupid. I found he was using some dating app, so I added him using a different identity, and I said, hi. And he responded to me, and he started to chat with me on IM. And I didn't try to flirt with him. I complained to him about my failed relationship. I didn't even fake it wasn't me, but somehow it turned out that he said he fell in love with the girl I faked, said lots of sweet words to her, and I was so jealous and angry. I told him the truth, and of course he was humiliated and so pissed off. He said lots of hurtful words and said I was a bitch, and he would never ever have anything to do with me anymore, and I was so sad and remorseful, but I still have feelings for him, and I still don't want to give him up, and I still want him back, and I decided not contacting him to cool down for a while would be the thing to do, but I really do need advice and help for this situation. And it's signed, Regretful Shirley. So this story is a really good example of why acting on our feelings, and by this I mean putting feelings into behavior instead of constructive communications, is so damaging to our relationship. So I hear you want your ex back, and the path to him is going to be very bumpy, and I'm not very hopeful that you're going to succeed, but let me just lay out the plan for you, and if there's any hope at all, if he hasn't totally closed the door, this will work. So if the relationship was wonderful, as you said it was, then I want to know why he lost feelings for you. So either he's a very young man who hasn't played the field and he isn't ready to settle down yet, which could explain why he broke up, or there was actually a lot wrong with the relationship from his point of view, which is why he broke up with you. Now, you don't seem to know what wasn't working for him, and obviously you can't fix something if you don't know why it broke. Okay? Now, unfortunately, as you were trying to reconcile, you discovered that he was using the dating app. Now, at this point, your feelings of anxiety over the prospect of losing him led you to derail and play that unfortunate game with him. Now, what you did broke his trust in you and gave him all the ammo he needed to blame you and break contact. So can you see where your true problem lies? It seems to me that you go into action when you have strong feelings. And actions, of course, temporarily release our internal emotional pressure, which is why most of the world acts out. But as you can see, actions always backfire. If you're going to make a relationship work with him or with anyone, you have to be able to sit with your feelings and not do or say anything on impulse. To make a relationship work, we all have to cultivate the discipline of tolerating our uncomfortable feelings while doing nothing to discharge or release them. And while you're studying your feelings, you're looking at how they connect to your history, your old scars from childhood, and you're considering what you might do or say that would be constructive for you, for the other person, and your relationship. And during this reflection, we don't take any action, not until we're sure that what we intend to do or say is actually going to be constructive. Now, I know it sounds unspontaneous, and it is, because until we train ourselves to not act on our raw feelings, we need to rein ourselves in. And eventually, you're going to be able to go through this process at lightning speed, and you're going to be able to deal constructively right in the moment. Now, I know it's hard, but believe me, there is no other way. Most people destroy their relationships because they haven't learned to discipline themselves and not selfishly vent their feelings onto others. So to get back to your goal of getting your ex back, first and foremost, don't make him feel that you're trying to twist his arm or change his mind in terms of the breakup. If he feels pressured by you, he's going to go the other way. So you have to be resigned to not getting him back before you approach him again. Now, when you do approach him, your first order of business is going to be to apologize. You need to tell him that what you did was game playing and it was wrong. And he needs to hear that you totally understand why he was furious with you. And tell him that you have become aware of your habit of acting on impulse instead of talking constructively. And tell him that you're on the path to improving yourself. And you'd like him to do you a favor and please tell you what you did or didn't do in the relationship that made him unhappy. So when you take this position, he's going to see that you truly are different. And if there is anything left to salvage here, you're going to be creating the soil in which the relationship can be reborn. Okay? Now, I hope that he isn't too far gone. And I want you to know, really, really know, that if it turns out that you cannot win him back, this will be chalked up to a learning experience. We all have these unfortunate experiences in life where we make dreadful mistakes, and they are our growing pains. But if there is any kind of love left in this man and you accept full responsibility for where you've gone wrong, that is the only hope that you have of seeing this through to a reconciliation. So let me know how you do. I want to hear about that. All righty. So let me take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, men don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, Mary needs to turn on what I call green lights, nonverbal signals that let a guy know you're ready to go. Most guys won't approach a woman unless they're sure to not be rejected. So ladies, if you want to kick your love life into high gear, make your signals clear. Turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
You are listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To submit your questions to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, sign up for her free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and get the details on how you can connect with her on Google Hangouts or YouTube during her live broadcasts, or listen to the archived show at WebTalkRadio.net. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Love's book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her proven five-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed over years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven, no-hype, no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem and shows you how to reignite the spark and rekindle your love. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. And now, back to Dr. Love.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking about how to make resolutions, our New Year's resolutions stick. That was the first part of the show. And how to make a New Year's resolution and a relationship resolution that sticks. And, you know, there's a theme here that's running throughout our show today, which is taking radical responsibility for yourself. Because, as I said, if we want to change our relationship, change starts with ourselves, looking at what we are doing to break the connection and what we can do to build it, and then taking radical responsibility for our role in the problem. And we are pebbles in the proverbial pond. We cast a pebble, it forever changes the surface of the pond, and the pond being our relationship. And then this reverberates out to the world. As you change your relationship and you make it more loving, you're creating a different vibration for the whole world. And if all of us do this, we elevate the level of love and the vibration on a worldwide level, and we're all pebbles in the proverbial universal pond, fulfilling our purpose on earth, which is to perfect our ability to love ourselves and others more fully. Okay, so let's go to the next question. Am I being ridiculous? Dear Dr. Love, I'm almost 3 years into a relationship with a man that started off mid-distance. We lived about 90 miles apart. He's 55, I'm 44. Approximately 1 year into the relationship, as we were becoming more serious, I discovered, during a health crisis he encountered, that he had a female roommate. Prior to that, he usually was the one to make the trips to my home, mainly for convenience on both our parts. But obviously, now to me, because he also really, really didn't want me to know or get into a discussion with me about his living situation. He explained to me they had been friends for years, she was down on her luck, and after her divorce, she'd moved back into the room she and her ex-husband had stayed in at his home because she had few resources and he felt badly for her. Because he didn't know how serious we would become, he felt his living arrangement disclosure was irrelevant to us prior to my finding out. I disagree here with his logic. It was later revealed that before her marriage, she and my ex were sexually involved. He states he didn't mention this to me as the past is the past. There's nothing going on and he helps his friends. He's very giving to a fault to his friends. Furthermore, he is friendly with her whole family as he states they have helped him out in the past. I do not believe there is anything sexual between them as she has a boyfriend who is often with her at my boyfriend's home and they all seem to be friends. But it bothers me that there is a past between my boyfriend and her. I admit this, and now I am moving in and relocating, and I expect her to get it together and move out. She is asking him for extended free lodging for economic reasons. I observe her to be down on her luck, but also lazy with regard to finding employment, etc. She's also a slob, and I resent cleaning up after someone who lays around all day rent-free. I work 45 hours a week and still clean his house. Admittedly, I am a neat freak, but her very existence is beginning to really bother me. He feels caught between a rock and a hard place and doesn't want to leave her homeless, and I feel her lazy self would likely find another lodging if given no choice. Am I being unreasonable to not want his ex to be living with us? Please advise. Signed, Emmy. Well, you really are caught between a rock and a hard place. Yes, you are. Because if you address this subject head on with him, it's only going to create a power struggle. So let's back up for a minute and look at this situation with a long focus lens. And this is going to give us more creative options for dealing with him and the situation. So you are in the unfortunate position of wanting your boyfriend who is married to rescuing and whose identity seems tied up in taking care of those who are down on their luck to put you first and ditch her. Now, if you fall into this trap of trying to force him to oust her, he's going to resist all the more since he's getting so much out of being a caretaker. Now, we know your boyfriend is a people pleaser and a caretaker. And people who behave this way unconsciously feel deprived and wish to be rescued themselves. Because the caretaking that they do is tied up with their own old scars, and it's very difficult to abandon. The only way to break this pattern is for the person to recognize his own sense of need and pain and to reparent himself. And most people never reach this level of awareness because it hurts. So instead, they just leapfrog over their own emotional awareness and take care of others, hoping to fill the empty well inside themselves. Now, if you try to take away his coping mechanism, he's going to fight you tooth and nail because he doesn't want to face his own emptiness and pain. Your guy also seems to have a low self-esteem. People pleasers and caretakers often behave in helpful ways in an attempt to feel better about themselves. People who lack self-esteem are also very afraid of not being liked. And the fact that he didn't tell you the truth about his living situation tells me that he was probably afraid that you would have rejected him had you known. So now he's afraid of not being liked by his ex if he throws her out. So the next thing to consider is the fact that we're dealing with a triangle. I wonder if your guy is using this woman to create a space or distance between you and him. Is he, without realizing it, afraid of intimacy? Because whenever a third party is brought into a relationship, that party is being used to create space and distance. So is this triangle an unfortunate byproduct of his caretaking, or is he holding on to her because she provides a built-in wedge between you and him? So if having this third wheel in the mix serves him, then if she were to go, he'd find another way of distancing from you. You've heard the old saying, if you can't beat him, join him. In either case, the more you resist, the more his defenses heighten, and the more you try to remove her from the equation, the more he's going to hold on tight. So let's take a detour for a second and look at you, because I'm talking about radical responsibility today. So you said it bothers you that this woman was his ex. So even though you know they aren't involved anymore, it still bothers you. So I have to wonder if you yourself are struggling with an old scar of your own. So have you considered how the triangle relates to your own history? Did you ever feel that your parent favored another sibling over you? And if you did, then your wound is being revived thanks to the triangle. Here again, your parent is favoring someone else over you. So you're trying to rewrite the old script with your happy ending, and this time your parent's going to pick you and ditch the sibling. So you can see you're in a losing battle, can't you? Because he has his own reasons for keeping her right where she is. So what can we do about all this? Well, first you might ask him if he knows what he gets out of taking care of someone who's down and out. You could also get him to talk about his own childhood, because I'm sure there there's much he hasn't told you. And if you get him talking about his own deprivation, then you'll be able to segue into explaining how people can take care of others as an unconscious way of trying to heal and fill up the empty hole inside themselves. Now, if we're lucky, he'll actually come to see that he's giving to others what he himself needs. And you might ask him if his caretaking of this woman helps him to feel better about himself. Does it fill the void? And then you might move on to having him consider whether he's truly healing his own wound or just depleting himself. For most caretakers, the giving drains rather than heals them. And the only true healing is to give the caretaking back to oneself. Now, we might also have him look at the way he's not being helpful to her, because he's actually crippling her. In other words, while he rescues her to try to heal his own wound, he's actually not helping her to get moving. It's like giving a person whose leg works fine crutches to walk on, and soon the good leg becomes lame. So if all this doesn't move him forward and break the impasse, then you're going to need to decide whether you are willing to be the third wheel and literally relive your own old scars from childhood and re-injure yourself in the process. So if you really want to heal yourself, then my book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, is going to show you how to reparent yourself. And when you decide to be a good mom to yourself, your path will become clear, because you're not going to allow yourself to be in a relationship in which you feel second class. And if he's too damaged to resolve his own problems and set proper limits with this woman, then the healthier you become, you're going to know what you have to do, in which case your self-love is going to demand that you not live under these circumstances. And then you'll be able to set a healthy limit for yourself where you tell him that you aren't willing to live in the house so long as she's there. And setting this limit is going to be a wonderful example of limit setting that he very much needs. Now, you may not need to get this far. Just healing yourself and knowing that you deserve more may be all that's needed to propel him on his own self-healing path. So let me know how you do. I want to hear. Now, here's the next question I'm going to share with you today. It's called Reconnecting with My Love. Dear Dr. Love, I've been dating a lovely divorcee for over 3 years now, and our relationship started with very intense sexual experiences as her need for discovering her ability to be attractive after 20 years of marriage was her M.O. And I actually understood her taking 15 lovers over a year's time, considering she had missed her 20s with pregnancy and commitment to a man with a drug problem. I was the last one she found, and we fell into a deeply committed love. But the lies she endured were understandably part of her conditioning over many years and immediately caused trust issues. As we settled into our relationship over the years, it became apparent that she was very interested in exploring bisexual desires and fantasies. She had opined recently that she may need to have an open relationship to explore these desires. However, she does not want me to sleep with anyone else. Her idea is that her bisexuality is only sex and not based on emotion. Over the course of our relationship, we broke up several times and got back together. Both times she placed ads seeking bisexual women to explore this side of her, some of which I recently discovered. She says that she is not engaged with anyone, however, and I have a sinking feeling she's only saying this to avoid conflict. Some of the wording was pretty aggressive, and she is a habitual white liar, omitting things from her family and friends that may cause her to lose face, social standing, or just to keep the peace. We've discussed this issue several times, and she has recently come clean over several items I brought up, but she's avoided details that I require to feel more comfortable. So I feel that with time and patience, I could get her to open up more, and we are now broken up, but we're still seeing each other and trying to rectify the situation. She says that she sees us in 10 years as a loving couple. However, I may not be able to move forward without her fully explaining what I saw. She's avoiding it by saying she feels violated, that I would want to look at her emails seeking to hook up with women. She says that nothing happened and that she'd chickened out, or we got back together before it could happen, but I'm not so sure. And she's now in touch with a new woman she finds attractive whose relationship is open to other females, even calling this woman safe. My question is simple. Is this relationship doomed for failure, or could I position myself in a way that allows her to feel comfortable enough to fully open up? I'm deeply in love with this woman, feeling a connection to her that I've never felt with another human being, and she says the same thing. But I feel that if I don't stand up for my feelings and demand that she expose her interaction to me, it will not allow me to make a fully informed decision about how I want to move forward. Letting go of her is a painful option, but one I would take if I discovered that she has lied to me about this. And this is signed, Spun Out. So, listen, you're in a power struggle. You're saying you want to know the entire truth, but you already know that she's a white liar, and your gut is telling you that she's not telling you the truth about having been with women in order to avoid conflict. and she's lying to avoid losing you. So you're saying that if she just comes clean with you, you'll be able to move forward with her, but this isn't true because her coming clean is going to involve admitting that she lied to you. And you said yourself that if you find out that she lied, you're going to end the relationship. So basically, you're already done. You know in your gut she lied. She's never going to admit that to you because she would be issuing her own death sentence. So rather than get caught in the power struggle, you need to focus on the larger question. Why do you want to be in a relationship with a woman who lies and who you cannot trust? Because the woman is caught up in an enactment. An enactment is an unconscious attempt to resolve an emotional struggle through behavior. And unfortunately, enactments never heal our wounds. They just provide temporary release, and then the person has to do the enactment all over again. So in her case, she felt cheated of her chance to play the sexual field. So the first year after her divorce, she slept with 15 guys. And when that didn't satisfy her, she moved on to bisexual urges. Well, what's going to be next? Chimpanzees? So the only way around enactments is to feel the pain and work it through. So in her case, she'd have to grieve the loss of her youth rather than trying to F her way, F her feelings away. So I don't see this woman being interested in facing the music. She isn't in a position to commit to you. Now she wants to play around and explore her bisexual urges. She isn't willing to sit on her urges and leave them to fantasy. She's invested in gratifying herself, and her self-gratification is more important to her than preserving your bond and trust. So I'm really sorry, but it seems like a deal breaker here, and you need, I think, to grieve and move on. So I have 2 minutes left, and I'm wondering if I can get in this question, the reading between the sheets question about oral sex. So this is the question of the guy. It's bothering him because his girlfriend has never performed oral sex on him. He's done it on her. She did it on plenty of other guys that she had no relationship with, and now it's driving him crazy. This is the essence of it. So the bottom line here, if I may say the bottom line, is you're interpreting your girlfriend's unwillingness to give you oral sex as a sign that you're not truly loved by her or not attractive to her. And the fact that she did this with a man that she had no future with is the icing on the cake of your heartache. So here's what you have to understand. You need to strip away the overt content, the she won't give you oral sex. Focus on what you're feeling instead. You're feeling hurt, unloved, and unwanted. Connect it to your childhood where you felt rejected. And realize that you're inserting your wound, your old scar, on this situation. And now you have to step back and not personalize her thing. Because the fact is, she is doing this refusal of oral sex as a way of driving a wedge and keeping some distance. It was easy for her to do it with men she didn't care about. But with a man she does love, she seems to need to keep some space. So if this is her problem, that she's too afraid of intimacy, and she's holding back on the act as a way of keeping some distance. Now, when you heal your own old scar, and you step back and you don't take her problem, her fear of intimacy and commitment and closeness, when you don't take that personally, you are going to see it's all about her. Heal your old scar, and you won't take her so personally. Okay, that's all I have for you today on Ask Dr. Love Radio. And stay tuned for more information about my new switch to my new network so we'll be able to speak live. And meanwhile, just take radical responsibility, change one thing about yourself, make a relationship resolution, and you're going to be on the path to changing everything in your life and being much happier in life and in love. See you next week on Love, on Ask Dr. Love Radio.